Hey, Ben, Adam.
What's up, dude?
Yep.
Have you guys heard this new podcast where the hosts are trying to save the world through self-improvement challenges? They've done stuff like they microdosed shrooms, they swam with Olympians, they even gave up plastic for a week. It's pretty crazy. I mean, most comedy podcasts, the hosts just sit around and talk about old TV shows, but this podcast, they're actually doing something.
Yeah, Andrew, that's our podcast.
What?
Okay, that's, it's not a new podcast. It's called The Grolic Saves the World. And I hate to break this to you. You were in all of those episodes.
Are you sure? That doesn't sound like something I do. The Grolic Saves the what?
Yeah, The Grolic Saves the World, Andrew. Grolic, G-R-A-W-L-I-X. The comedy trio you've been part of for decades. It's the Grolic Saves the World podcast. It's our podcast, buddy.
G-R-A. What is it? Hang on. Let me go get a pencil.
G-R-A-W-L-I-X.
You don't own any pencils. Adam, new challenge. How about this? How about we kick Andrew out and we just do a podcast with the two of us?
You know, I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I got a pen.
Andrew, Grolic Saves the World podcast, Starburns Audio Network.
Starburns Audio. Hey, stupid nerds. Download the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. So you can find out what happened to Frankenstein and the Wolfman and all that fictional stuff that never happened. And don't pay attention to World War II or the American flag or important things.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Mix. Baby.
Mix it up, dog.
Boy, let's plug the shows now. I'm going to be in Sioux Falls tonight.
There you
maybe.
Go. Okay.
Sioux Falls with a predicted high temperature.
Ooh, let me guess. February in Sioux Falls, high temp of 18.
High temp of 27.
27.
Tuesday.
Heat wave. Okay.
Tomorrow, 17th. I'll be gone by then. But then, by Friday, down to 7. Saturday, up to a balmy 25. Get out your swim trunks. 25 degrees. Sunday, 32. That's above freezing. It is beach weather. Oh, boy. What have we done with this tour? What a choice we've made.
That was an interesting area of the country to focus on this time of year.
We knew it was going to be dumb. And then it turned out to be dumb.
Yeah, you got some winter gear.
We did this to ourselves.
What kind of?
I just got anything warm.
You got a coat? What kind of jacket or coat you rocking in the cold?
I remember leaving. I forget where I was going to play. I always thought, like, man, who buys one of those like clothing stores at LAX?
Mm-hmm.
And like it was like a Rip Curl store. Like you get like it's an LA T-shirt, or you get something that reminds you of your trip. But they had winter coats. But who's buying a winter coat at the store in LA? And then it was me, because I was going to like Buffalo, New York or something and realized, I was in LA. All I had were jackets. I'm like, I need a winter coat and I need it right now. So I was the one who bought a winter coat in in the airport. So, but it'll be doing a thing.
Well, good times, man.
It'll be fun. Yeah, we got all this. Sean Jordan. Sioux Falls' favorite son.
So you're going Sioux Falls and where else?
Sioux Falls, Duluth, Fargo, and Winnipeg.
There you go. Okay.
Just the sexiest spots.
Duluth's a cool little town. I spent some time up there before. It's right there on the water.
I don't think it's good. I think it's going to be ice when we're up there. I don't think it's going to be water.
Hometown of Maria Bamford.
She Duluth?
Yeah, pretty sure she's from Duluth.
Minnesota makes them funny.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota makes funny people. Minnesota, Wisconsin, Upper Midwest really gets makes the chucklers. I don't know what it is up there. I think it's attitude towards life.
Yeah, cold weather.
Cold weather, but like, geez.
Gotta find the humor in it.
Cold weather. I think, well, like the South too, maybe the hot weather in that way was like, yeah, all right, it's hot down here. Like, I don't know, just a sense of like life's never going to be fantastic, so you may as well have a laugh about it. That attitude.
Was it you that was talking about months ago, maybe we were talking about it on the show, just about the concept of like people who grow up in Southern California, like they – people who grow up in areas where there's no bad weather, like, it just it makes a different person out of you, as opposed to someone who grew up with some elements, just that struggle that you can't control. Like it or not, it's 8 degrees this week. Fucking deal with it. And like, people in warm weather climates don't have to deal with that kind of stuff. And I think that it develops a toughness that I think is useful.
I think it's like a adversity. You know, much like if you don't grow up with any racial diversity, mm-hmm. you have a different attitude towards the world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that could have some things to do with it.
Yeah.
Tell me. That's my personal opinion. I think that could have something to do with it.
It could be. We're figuring it out. What else been going on, man? What'd you do this week? Anything exciting?
What did we do this week? What did I do this week? We had Valentine's Day this week.
Oh, how'd that go? Oh, you went to the basketball game.
Went to see the Portland Trailblazers lose to the Washington Wizards, but had a good time. Never been to a basketball game. Good time.
You've never been to an NBA or college basketball game?
I went to one basketball game in China.
Okay.
Which had like some of the pro players, I guess, or like whatever, they go over there and they're kind of staying warm in the off season or what have you. This was 5 years ago.
I don't know why that made me laugh.
they love basketball over there. Mm-hmm. That was one of the big things about... But there are a few people in the NBA standing up like, okay, you want to talk about how we're all about the treatment of people, like human rights things? Let's talk about how much China filters into the NBA.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. It was a good time. I am, I know you're a sports guy, and I'm not going to be the guy that like, oh, I went to a sports ball contest. Like, that's fucking dumb, too. Ugh, to be like, I don't understand the sports ball game. Like, I understand why they're a good time.
Yeah.
I went. I had a great time. I had no investment.
Uh-huh.
But
do you have good seats?
Yeah, we got some okay seats. We're right in front. There's like the middle rung. Like, what's like the fill? Like, if you're looking out at where the seats are,
mm-hmm.
the sky boxes aren't all the way up.
Yeah.
They're in the middle. They're like the macaroon center, you know?
Yeah, like the suites. Yeah.
That's where those are. We were sitting right in front of those. Okay. Regular seats, but like right in front. So in the middle, we weren't right up on the court side. But then I guess Blazer games, they got like $14 standing room only. You go in there, there's a cheap bar all the way up there, and the diehard fans go. But had a blast, had a good old time.
Were you sitting close enough to where you could appreciate the height of some of the players? That's always impressive.
No, only till somebody had to go onto the court to like wipe something up or something.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, these guys are fucking here.
Oh yeah, you got some scale there with the guy wiping the court. Yeah. It's insane. It's insane to be down there.
Whenever you're on a plane and like a team just gets on, you're like, Jesus mm-hmm. Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy to see like a 7-footer. Every now and then you'll see one out in the wild.
Yeah.
I think I told this story. A comic I knew in Atlanta years ago, his roommate was 7'2" and just a regular dude, wasn't an athlete, just worked at UPS or something. And you'd go over there and it was just insane. Like, he'd be sitting on the couch and his knees were like in the kitchen. It was just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, like that expanded perspective cartoon type of style. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you do with that much altitude.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, for guys like me and you, like a guy who's 6'2", that's impressive. Like, wow, look at you. You're 6'2". Add another foot to that. That's just insane.
My pal Jeff was in town. Jeff, I know from, he would put on the shows in Korea when I do stand-up in mm-hmm. Korea all those years ago. And he was in town because our other buddy Rudy, who I also met from Korea, was taping recording an album down in Eugene this past weekend. And Jeff is a giant man, and he likes to come. He's from Canada. He likes to come to the States just to go to JCPenney's because they got clothes in his size.
Okay.
Which I always thought they had big fellas up there in Canada, but he just loves a JCPenney.
Huh.
So he's very excited. Sent me a picture. I'm like, you make it to the States yet? He's like, not only make it, I'm already at JCPenney.
Okay. That is funny to see someone enthused about JCPenney. Are they still in business? Didn't they go out of business?
Clearly. He's doing something to help it.
Hmm.
Sears went out of business.
Sears, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Montgomery Ward. I don't believe there's a Montgomery Ward anywhere anymore.
Hmm. How about that? J.C.
How about that?
J.C.
Boy, real Andy Rooney episode here. Boy, no more Montgomery Wards.
You ever see a really tall guy?
The charm of a small town mall. Gone by the way of the internet sales.
Oh, man.
But it was fun. We did that. Then the rest of the week, I went out. I was getting at it. Mm-hmm. I was making sure none of the bars were left with too much whiskey.
Okay, supporting the local economy.
Past few days.
Yeah.
Yeah, was just out. And then I didn't feel good, so I took Saturday last night, tonight off. I gotta clean the guts.
There you go. What'd you guys do for Valentine's dinner?
Got some pizza at the basketball game.
There you go. Was it good?
They got good concessions over there. It's Portland. They take pride in that stuff.
That's always cool when an arena or stadium actually has good food.
Oh, they got good. I texted Ian Carmel. I'm like, I'm going to my first Blazer game. He used to like do stuff, like do promo and stuff for the Blazers when he lived here. He's like, you're going to have the best time, best concessions in sports.
Wow, but I didn't know that.
It was good food.
Okay.
Yeah, because Portland got all their quirky stuff. They like all the quirky Portland type stuff. And plus, I think because they don't have any other major sports, maybe they got soccer. Mm-hmm. But so everybody kind of rallies around the Blazers because that's the one team that Portland has, you know? Mm-hmm. They don't have football. They don't have baseball or anything else. So it's cool. I like it. I'm glad I went. We had a real fun time. Had a lot of laughs.
That's good, man. Good to see you out there broadening your horizons.
Got to do something, man. Life's short. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? What'd you do? What kind of special?
Oh man,
sexy fuck time did you have?
I think I talked about it last week. I got her a massage on the afternoon of Valentine's. So she went and got a deep tissue massage. Apparently, this lady just beat the hell out of her. She loved it. I made a nice dinner.
That kind of thing over there.
Yeah, that's our weird quirk over here. But yeah, just made a nice dinner. Made some beef short rib, little homemade mashed potatoes, and
are there beef long ribs?
Probably. Yeah, I think those are just
called beef ribs.
Just beef ribs. Yeah, these are shorter ones. They call them short ribs.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, nothing too crazy. Tried to watch some movies. Just a bunch of stinkers lately. Oh man. We're trying to watch a scary movie called Skinamarink. You heard about Skinamarink?
Somebody else was just telling me about that yesterday. Told me, man. To take a look at it.
Oh, man, yeah. You could just stare at your own toilet for an hour and a half. It's about as exciting.
I've done that, too. I've heard it's a little bit arty, artistic.
Maybe I'm just too dumb to appreciate the high arty movies, but, boy, this was just a whole bunch of nothing. Maybe I just don't.
Not your thing.
Yeah, just didn't get it, you know. You know, I'm weird. I have weird taste in movies that I actually like dialogue and story and stuff like this. This literally had almost no dialogue, no story. I don't know.
But listen, we're going to go down this route again.
Yeah.
I will watch movies where it's like, oh, this is a character study, and I went to go to the movies because I wanted to see a story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same, you know, and so... I'll watch it for myself, Dave. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm saying you have a very you have a more narrow scope of what you find enjoyable in film and TV.
I don't think I have a narrow scope. I just, yeah.
How many times have you watched The Sopranos, Dave?
I mean, I've watched The Sopranos probably 10 times all the way through, maybe 8.
10 times, and that's mm-hmm. several hours of television.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because there's too many movies like Skinamarink out there.
I thought Sopranos took a shit towards the middle.
Yeah, what, season 6A?
And it was just being frustrated and eating. So
I did watch.
We all got our takes. We all got our hot takes. On...
Speaking of which, I've been trying to kind of broaden my taste a little bit with movies. Maybe that's why I was defensive about that, because I have been trying to get outside of my comfort zone.
Plus, it's a time commitment. It's 2 hours where it's like when you don't like it. Man, that's 2 hours I could have.
Yeah. I've been trying to get into sci-fi. That's the one genre I'm probably least interested in. And so I'm trying to watch some of the classics. I watched the original Blade Runner. Enjoyed it. Never seen that.
That was one... That was one where, like,
I mean, it was okay.
I kept falling asleep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like the old movies. I like when an older movie is set in the future, and now that time is the time we're living in, and you can compare and contrast. I think that movie, made in like 79, I think it's set in like 2019 or something like that. So that's always interesting. Same thing when I watch Back to the Future Part 2. That's always interesting to see. Oh, see what they got right, what they got wrong, that kind of thing. But yeah,
yeah,
it held my interest. And I rewatched E.T. for the first time in about 40 years. Enjoyed that.
Oh, did you cry?
No, didn't cry. I knew what was coming, but I enjoyed E.T. I watched it a lot when I was a kid. I don't know if I've seen that probably since I was 10 years old or so. So it's been a while. But yeah, I enjoyed that.
That's a tearjerker, that one.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was sad. When they basically think he died, and the little kid thinks he died, and then he comes back. That was good. But
yeah.
E.T., Blade Runner, Skinamarink. That's what I watched this week. Oh,
Skinamarink.
Man, I got some culinary news. We got a Bristol Farms. You ever been to Bristol Farms grocery store? I haven't seen many of them outside of L.A.
Fancy grocery.
It's fancy, but it's reasonably priced. Oddly reasonably priced, but they got a little hot bar. I'm a sucker for the hot bar, the hot food bar. And sure. And they got interesting combinations. They always have like a little fried rice dish, and they got a little sweet and sour chicken kind of thing. But then a couple of pans over, very pleased to see that in the middle of February, nowhere near Thanksgiving, they're putting out turkey and dressing and gravy every day. So I'm a big fan of the non-November turkey and gravy.
Yeah, I mean, much like Monster Mash is a good song regardless of season, turkey
exactly.
And gravy, good meal regardless of season as well.
And I kind of invented a little mishmash, speaking of Monster Mash, a little fried rice as a base, hit that fried rice with a little turkey gravy, and then throw a little turkey on top of that, a little turkey fried rice with gravy. It's a good time.
Throw cranberries on there?
Nah, they didn't have any cranberries, and even if they did, I wouldn't throw them on there. I never bought into that bullshit. But yeah, turkey, gravy, fried rice, good combo.
Just curious about them cranberries. Mm-hmm. If you're into the cranberries at all?
Nah, I never cared about it.
Don't care about the cranberries.
No, just seems weird.
Wow, wild man.
Put some grape.
No love for cranberries.
I don't put grape jelly on my fried chicken. Why would I put cranberry on my turkey? I'm just a real.
Real
curmudgeon today.
Boy, yeah, you got nothing good happening over here, Dave. Let's get you. I thought I was in a mood.
No, I'm excited about the turkey fried rice. That makes me happy.
I'm trying to not be in a mood. I'm trying to be good. We got to figure out how to make. We got to look into the afterlife because we got to figure out how to make Lil D live forever. That's what we got to figure out.
Oh, you said she went to
old night.
She went to the vet.
19
today?
Years old. We're at the vet, and it was just one of those talks of like, just seeing if medicine's doing all right. But the vet had to be like, yeah, you got to like address the issues of this. You know, it's an old cat, medical issues, and it was that stuff's sad to think about. You got to it's reality.
Oh, it's so sad.
But would you? Would you clone one of your pets?
Would I clone one? Oh, sure. Yeah. What would be the downside of that?
Yeah, there's been no downsides of cloning as far as I can see. I'm sure there's no abandoned abandoned talc mines filled with goblins that were the mishaps of a science a top secret science department run amok. That's what I think that would be. What would be bad if you cloned?
I always
if you
worry.
Cloned.
Go ahead.
Your animal. But just I don't know. You can't clone. I don't think you can clone the personality. You can clone the physicality, of the DNA, but you can't clone the experiences that something, has like that shapes what it is.
Yeah. No, I get that. That makes sense. I always worry about that scenario, maybe that what you're walking into there with Lil D. But the scenario of like, well, your cat's old. it's got a terminal illness or whatever, but it needs a surgery or something. Mm-hmm. Like, where's the line? Like, okay, he needs this surgery. It's $11,000. Yes or no? You know, I always wonder, like, and I guess everybody's line is different, but I just hope I'm never faced with that scenario of like, well, you know, a $7,000 surgery could extend their life, or you could just not do that and let it ride out a couple
it's,
more weeks.
It's we're just trying to like, you know, it's like comfort and quality of life. Mm-hmm. That's what we're aiming for here. It's like, all right, we'll make this cat, you know. If it's alive, is it happy being alive? Mm-hmm. Then that's what we need to sustain.
Yeah.
You know, if, you know, risking these things, risking putting, putting her under for like, that's not worth the risk in that case. Mm-hmm. But if she seems all right, she just doesn't eat, you know, she's 19 years old, man.
She doesn't eat much or not eating at all or what?
Doesn't really eat much. She'll get a little something here and there, but not enough. Like, the cat weighs like 6 pounds.
You mentioned that last time, and I'm not questioning that, but it just, that seems hard to believe. Like, 6 pounds is not much at all for a cat.
Yeah. What? It's because you got thick animals in your household.
I got a 19-pound cat.
Yeah, you got a thick cat. No, little D's just...
6 pounds.
She's a little fuzzy bag of bones. That were, sorry, this is a bummer topic, man, but, that's what's going on. It's my day. My day has been
It's your life. It's what you're dealing with, man.
But, she lived a good one. I'm not going to talk about it. She's still here. She's in the room sleeping.
She's still there.
Quality of life. I'm probably going to watch Skinamarink with her later. I'm going to get some Thai food, watch Skinamarink.
Well, good luck.
I'm going to do that one. Hey, listen, we don't need any big jump scares. She's got this old cat. She needs to go. Got to be easy on her.
She needs a slow burn.
Yeah, she can't be having things jump out and screaming at her. Not built for it anymore.
No. What you going to do? Katie and I have talked about this a lot. Like, all right, what's your... All right, again, I know it's kind of a bummer scenario, but all right, the day comes... Lil D passes on. How long do you wait before you go get another cat?
That's not part of the conversation.
No? Why not?
No, because that's not how life works for me. It's not like, oh, this one's gone, then we replace it.
But why not? No,
Because it's not a coffee maker.
Well, I know, but it would heal that wound, and there's probably a cat out there that needs a home.
So. I'm sure. And then that's not a time frame I would have now. It's like I said, this is not replaceable stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the people that just need to be in relationships. Oh, true. Well, I'm alone again. I better just move to the next one. It's like, well, no, why don't you take care of yourself?
Yeah.
You know, this cat came into our lives through circumstance, which made it that much more special. Mm-hmm. And that there's no time frame to speak of. If or when that'll happen, then the world will make itself known that it is time. Just as like we weren't going to ever get a cat, and this one just lived in the yard.
Yeah.
And then was hanging around, we'd feed it, and then eventually... I hate that whole who rescued who shit, but it's like, well, no, okay, this is the arrangement we have of us sharing the space and like, all right, we're going to let you in the garage. Okay, we'll see if you want to come in the house a little bit. And now it's like we got to kick it out of the bedroom because it just stands on top of us and screams all morning.
What is
so, this? Yeah, there's no replacement scenario. I can't look at any relationship in that way.
Yeah, but I know, like, with a person, that's not healthy, but I feel like, I don't know, we've thought a lot about that, and I know what you're saying about it can't be replaced, but I think the sooner the better. Get another little goober in here and heal my wounds and give that new one a good life.
I don't know if that's healing as much as putting off... I mean, that's just an opinion, but I think, like, it's just putting off actual feelings.
Yeah.
But oh, one cat's gone. Get another cat. That's no. I'll just gonna be sad until I'm not sad anymore. You know.
That's a good way to look at it. Good for you.
Well, that's not, man. That's, you gotta process those things. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's healthy to just look at everything in like a replacement scenario.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't look at it as
sitting there screaming outside the door right now. It's a sad, it's the most pathetic meows too. Oh, Jesus. I wonder if you could hear it. That's a put on too. I know she's fine.
Oh, really? She manipulates you? Oh. Oh.
No, come here. Get it on the mic. Come on.
Psst. What's up, little D?
No, she's standing there. She's all pissed because I had to take blood and take.
Oh.
Take pee.
Take pee? How do they take pee?
I don't know. They just had her on her back and, like, got it out of her.
Oof. Oh, little D.
Oh, shit. All right, I'm off mic. Okay, we're on mic. We're on mic with this critter. This is a weird episode today, Dave. Sorry.
That's all right, buddy.
You know, going through it. Got to mm-hmm. process these things. But, yeah, I don't. I know the people that as soon as, like, you know, they get a dog dies, they get a new dog. You know, mm-hmm. It's like. All right, I don't know if. To me, maybe I'm equating it, the relationship thing more with like, oh, you just have a void.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's like, well, what's the thing that fills the. Is it just the presence of something, or is it the personality and like. You know?
Yeah.
What was special about the animal?
Mm hmm.
Or what wasn't so special that you could just get another of the same species
mm-hmm.
to do the trick, you know? But that's it. I'm sad. This is a sad. Sorry, I'm a sad one today, Dave.
It's all right, buddy. We can switch gears and talk about the lizard men of Quan Bin.
Let's talk about these goddamn lizard men of Quan Bin.
Our next partner is Athletic Greens, a.k.a. AG1. I've been taking Athletic Greens literally almost every day for a couple of years now because I needed something healthy and simple to incorporate into my diet. You've heard my stories. I'm up, I'm down, I'm fat, I'm less fat. But at the very least, I'm getting some good, high-quality nutrition in my diet almost every day thanks to Athletic Greens. It's one scoop, 8 to 12 ounces of water, no blender. You don't have to wash and peel or mix any veggies. It's just powder, water, shake it up, suck it down, boom, you're good to go. I wait till around noon until I have my serving of AG1. Trying to do that intermittent fasting, waiting as long as I can in the day before I have any calories. And I tell you what, that keeps me satiated for several more hours. It's hard for me to keep up with the supplement routine. I've tried the multivitamins. I've tried the other powders. AG1 is just simple. It works. Why take a bunch of different stuff when you can just mix one scoop of powder and water once a day? AG1, there you go. AG1 was designed with ease in mind so you can live healthier and better without having to do a lot. I like that part. Simply put, it's the healthiest thing you can do in under a minute. If you're one of those people who's always looking for life hacks, boy, have you got one here. Athletic Greens, once a day, 75 vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfood ingredients of the highest quality. They give me major benefits like gut and mood support, boosted energy, even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens has given you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/boogie. That's athleticgreens.com/boogie. Check it out. You ever heard about these lizard men of Quan Bin?
I mean, I've heard of the lizard men.
Quan Bin is a province in Vietnam. And, yeah, I've always, and we've talked about reptilians before. I'm always intrigued by the concept of a reptilian. Now, I don't know if I believe that there are reptile overlords living in the core of the earth. That would be nice to think about for me. That'd be nice to think. Really, that's your nice thoughts there, Dave, is reptiles living in the core of the earth. But I stumbled upon an article recently about these lizard men of the Kwanbin, and there's apparently some stories that came out of the U.S. military. Some U.S. soldiers had some encounters during the Vietnam War. One U.S. platoon in Vietnam, they were doing whatever they do, trouncing through the woods, looking for Charlie. Is that derogatory? Should I not say Charlie anymore?
I don't know if it's...
Looking for...
I don't remember why they called it that.
Did it have something to do with Viet Cong, the C in Kong, and the C in Charlie, the phonetic alphabet? I don't know. If that's the case, I don't think...
You might be right.
I don't know if that's a slur. Anyway, they're looking...
We could stay away.
Yeah, they're looking for the enemy.
Stay away from what the military called the enemy. It probably wasn't something polite.
Probably not. Yeah.
Oh, you know, we're just in the jungle looking for friends we haven't met yet.
That's
I don't think that's how they're...
But yeah, this platoon, U.S. platoon, they're on foot in the jungle, in the shit, late at night, and they spotted 4 7-foot bipedal creatures walking completely silently in single file about 20, 30 yards from them. So the U.S. platoon, they were hiding behind the trees. It's dark, nothing but the moonlight illuminating the jungle, and... This whole platoon sees 4 7-foot bipedal creatures, and they said that they were walking completely, like, through the brush, but making no noise. I don't know how that's possible. They said they had reptile-like skin that was bright yellow, like it illuminated, and they only had 3 digits on their hands and feet, so each hand, humanoid, and that, you know, they had a torso, 2 arms, 2 legs, but the hands... only had 3 digits, and the feet only had 3 digits, and they had snake-like eyes. And this account in particular, nothing came of it because they said that these lizard dudes either didn't notice the U.S. platoon or didn't care that they were there. They said that they were walking, looked like they had some other purpose. Okay, so that's one story. There's another story. Another U.S. platoon had a similar encounter, but on the riverbanks. It was a 8-man team divided up into 2 boats, and they had docked on the riverbanks to take a little break. And I don't know the timeline of any of this, but it's during the Vietnam War. And a separate platoon also saw a whole crew of 7-foot lizard-like creatures. They quoted dozens of creatures they saw. And it scared the hell out of this platoon. They got in their boats and continued downriver. And then I got one more. Yet another U.S. platoon during the Vietnam War, while on foot, on a foot patrol, they spotted a cave about 5 feet tall, 3 feet wide. And as they approached the cave, they noticed a putrid smell similar to rotten eggs or human decay. That human decay is a rough one. That never leaves you. horrible smell coming out of the cave. They backed off about 150 feet from the cave, squatted down, kept a surveillance on this cave for about 2 hours. It's about 5 o'clock in the morning, right when the sun was starting to come up. They saw 2 7- to 8-foot tall creatures emerge. They said they had a humanoid figure with 2 arms, 2 legs. They stood upright, but they had scaly lizard-like skin. And this, get this. Now, this account, all right, very similar to the first two accounts, except they wore a one-piece dark green robe, and a matching hat. So each one of these lizard dudes...
You gotta accessorize.
Yeah, yeah, you have to. They each had on dark green robes and matching hats. Then the creatures looked directly at the soldiers and made a hellish hissing sound, at which time the soldiers opened fire on the creatures, who then scurried back into the cave and were never to be seen from again. So ain't that some shit? 3 different accounts during the Vietnam War. I've seen...
Yeah, I'm on something called the Pelgrane Press. Yeah, this guy, I mean, I have no, there's no resource for any of this, but this guy is, same thing. He's seen a lot of, first off, rock apes. So like a Bigfoot type thing. And they, a lot of people get in rock throwing encounters during Vietnam with a lot of soldiers. But these are very vague accounts. Marines and rock apes battle hand-to-hand after gunfire doesn't stop the furry attackers. Mm-hmm. If you shoot at something and that doesn't stop it, you run away.
Yeah.
You don't like, well, I guess we'll box. Yeah, but these are like, this may be a purely entertainment-based website. Yeah, this guy, The Shining Ones, another cluster of sightings, seemingly has nothing in common except that the bogeys all glow. They may be MIGO or MIGO constructs, servitors of the shining trapezohedron or the shining moon thing of Muria, and Chatelure Shoggoth extrusions or imagos out of space or out of dream. I think these are made up.
You're just making up words there.
Yeah, I don't know what this is. But then it's like near the DMZ, late 1966, during a Viet Cong ambush of helicopter landing, an 8-foot-tall giant, dressed perfectly and wearing a sort of helmet, kills a VC gorilla, saving a U.S. crewman. It has an aura and speaks to the crewman in English, or telepathically. I don't know what the fuck I'm reading here. This is just a guy's... I'm just reading a blog of a guy saying, why not? So, I don't know what the... Like,
that rock ape.
What are you giving me here?
I wonder if that rock ape is related to the Bigfoot that rode shotgun in the military jeep during the Mount St. Helens explosion.
Yeah, who knew that these? Who knew that Bigfoot was a bootlicker?
Mm-hmm. All right, well, get this. Those three accounts I gave you, those are during late 60s, early 70s, during the Vietnam War. Then in 1990, in the same area, this guy named Ho Khan, he was a Vietnamese logger. He was out gathering wood in the jungle just north of the DMZ when he stumbled upon a massive cave. And this cave would later be known as, they call it Hang Son Dung, or translates to River Mountain Cave. In 2009, it was declared to be the largest cave in the world. Which I thought Mammoth Cave was bigger than this, but in 2009, declared to be the largest cave in the world at 5.5 miles long, 660 feet high, and 400 feet wide. Apparently, there's some cracks in the cave that allow sunlight and rain to get down in there, so it has formed its own ecosystem. They think this cave is 3 million years old. It's got its own ecosystem. There's rivers and jungles deep inside this cave. And they've actually apparently found rare species of tigers. They've found flying foxes, and rare primates have all been discovered there. Then in 1992, I believe it's the same guy, Ho Khan, he was down exploring this cave that he discovered 2 years earlier, and he just took a random picture, a Polaroid, of the cave, just for the purpose of exploring the cave and analyzing what he's seen in the cave. Didn't realize till he got the film developed that he thinks he caught an image of one of these lizard men. And I sent you...
This is what you sent me.
That's what I sent you today. He described it as a devil creature with a human-like body, but with the skin and facial structure of a dragon or lizard. And to go on, in 2013, that cave was opened for tourism. And... I think he took that photo in 1992, but it was kind of unknown till 2015 when someone uploaded it to YouTube, and that's the video I sent you.
1992, huh?
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to see this video. Mm-hmm. It's what are we looking at here? It's what are keywords so people could look this up? Let's see what we got.
And I gave you a note there.
Mission Creep 7 is the 2015 leak. Reptilian alien caught in photo.
If you skip ahead.
Inside the cave. Yeah, it's enhanced.
Yeah,
I still don't know what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So you're enhancing one. Okay, I'm going to my. Listen, I'm the skeptic here. I know that. I don't even know what I'm looking at still when it's enhanced.
Over to the right. You don't see a thing that looks kind of like a reptile face?
I'm looking at 2 minutes and 3 seconds. Is that what that is? Because you know what that looks like? That looks like Mel Brooks dressed up like, what was the Yoda character from Spaceballs?
Never seen Spaceballs.
Wow. Never Yogurt.
Seen. Yogurt?
Yogurt. A parody of Yoda.
That's pretty funny.
That's what he looks like. That's what I'm looking at in this video. That's what I'm seeing, Dave. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it.
No, but it looks like you see a face, right? Like a reptilian face. You see the
what
teeth.
What I don't get is like when you enhance a picture, why is none of the surroundings enhanced? The surroundings are still blurry. But now the thing that we're looking at.
No, when it's enhanced, some of the surroundings are also enhanced, like the colors, you know?
What color is a black and white photo?
But when they enhance it, do you see the greens and the reds and shit? There's greens and reds in other parts of the cave. That's what I'm saying.
But they're enhancing a black and white photo.
Well,
you're not going to get color out of it. You're going to get the way it's pixelated. The way grays are made up when photos are taken are from, like...
You never tried to...
Blue, red, and green.
You never tried to edit a black and white photo on Instagram? You know, there's ways to add color to it, even if the originals are black and white.
Okay, but these aren't the actual colors from the cave, then, is what I'm saying.
Okay, I see. That's a good point. But do you see the thing that could be...
I see a thing that's supposed to be... So he's got, like, a frown. He's sad about being a reptilian.
I see the big white teeth or lips or something there. And then I see like the eyes and the bridge of the nose, and the eyebrows.
It kind of looks
like a luchador mask. It could be a guy in a luchador mask.
It kind of looks like a lot of things that are actually real.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like the creature from a Blue Lagoon.
Yes. Yes.
That's what I'm seeing.
There you go. Yes.
Okay.
And one of the theories with, first of all, the fact that there's a cave this big and this old and it has its own ecosystem, that's fascinating. If they're finding rare species of tigers and shit, primates, what else could be down in there? But also, somebody made a point when I was reading about the Vietnam stories. Let's say there are 7-foot tall lizard men living deep in a cave in Vietnam. Well, once war comes to town and there's bombs and explosions everywhere, that might rustle them out of their cave to go explore and see what the hell's going on. That might account for these three different sightings.
Let's see what this... I mean, the lizard people, why is it lizard again? Why do they think they're like half lizard?
Why does who think it's half lizard?
Why is it lizard people? Why is it never like cat people or something?
Well, I mean, these people didn't see cat people. They saw lizard people, you know, the eyewitness accounts. I see. Are you saying like the reptilians? Well, why are they reptiles from the get-go? Maybe that has something to do with evolution and dinosaurs and shit. I don't know. Weren't we all lizards at one point?
And why a cape?
Who's wearing a cape?
The other ones that they saw, that they wear capes.
Oh, the robes. Yeah. I don't know what the hell that's about. That's the, oddly, that's the most unbelievable part of the story, in my opinion, is that I believe the 8-foot-tall lizards. I don't think they'd be wearing matching robes.
I just love, like, okay, so this, I'm looking at this video and I'm reading the comments, and right away somebody's like, and what about the pentagram on the ground?
Yeah, I saw that. That didn't really look like a pentagram to me.
It's like, no, it's a mine. Mm-hmm. Isn't this a mine? Or is it a cave?
It's a cave. But going back to, like, the reason I believe in Bigfoot The reason I believe the possibility of Bigfoot, because I believe that there's plenty of uninhabited land on this earth where a Bigfoot could hide and go undetected.
True, true, yes, yes.
The same could be said for the world's biggest fucking cave. Like, there could be anything living down there.
This is the world's largest cave?
That's what it said, but for some reason I always thought Mammoth Cave in Kentucky was bigger than that.
World's longest cave, but Hang Son Doong is the world's largest cave.
Yeah, that's this one.
But yeah, I mean, okay, I will give you the open mindedness of like, yes, that large of a like. That large of an expanse that can't be explored with tools.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's what lends itself to, like, could be anything. Same with the Bigfoot thing. You know what? A lot of stuff out there that you can't trace or like you just can't research, even with the heat monitor, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you that. I will give you that much. So, all right, big old cave. Could be a lot of stuff down there. Why are these lizard people... Just one guy all of a sudden gets a photo. They sit still for a photograph. I got to be a skeptic on some of this stuff.
See, I saw that comment too. What do you mean sit still for a photograph? Yeah. Everybody, any image, not every image that is captured on camera, the subject was posing for.
But this is a picture from 1980. This is a film camera.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing rather low light with a flash. Mysterious settings. Well, people are seeing.
Well, and just like a good Bigfoot photo, I love the ones where they're like, oh, we didn't even know we were taking a pic. We were just taking a picture. I was taking a video of my kids riding a dirt bike, and we didn't even realize till 10 years later at the family reunion when we whipped out the videotape that, holy shit, there's a Bigfoot in the background. I love that kind of shit. To me, that's believable when they're not... When they don't, the person who took the picture doesn't even realize what they've captured.
Yeah, I mean the war accounts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to discredit the efforts of the troops, but I think maybe stress and drug use and sleep deprivation and a lot of added things can add to a lot of unexplained sights and sounds.
That applies to the individual, yes, but when you have a whole platoon who've seen the same thing, that's interesting. Fucking 8-man team in boats, 2 different boats, 8 men, they all saw these bright yellow...
Where's this report?
Oh, just some website.
Outside of a website that wants to believe that this is true.
Well, of course.
Where's the .gov website? Where's the Freedom of Information Act? Here's what we reported to our superiors.
Well, one of these stories, they did say that there was no report of it for fear that they would be ridiculed and possibly kicked out of the military. And I buy that in a lot of cases, too. You know, so the mayor of a town sees a Bigfoot or a UFO, he don't want to report it because... people are going to think he's crazy and boot him out of office.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, man. I don't think those people in Vietnam were like, oh, please don't make me go home early.
Yeah.
God, I'd hate it if they thought I was crazy out here and mm-hmm. saw something kind of nutty and actually wanted me to leave. Well, okay. You know what? I'll go based on the size of the cave and mm-hmm. it's almost an impossible to explore that much space. We don't know what's down there. I would go with, a rare type of, rare animal or, rare species of something that doesn't need sunlight to live or something like that. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily a straight up. Again, all these things are just like, easily replicated by people with a mask. Why are aliens always two arms, two legs, some fingers and toes, and a head?
But think about
this. Why is it always that? Why is a Bigfoot two arms and two legs and a head? All these things are also shaped just like people.
We're all
very
connected.
Conveniently.
We're all connected, man.
Okay. Yeah, we're all going to the same fucking Spirit Halloween store on the off season to cock up some shit like this. Oh, you know what? You know what'd be even funnier for our lizard man? Get him a Dracula cape just to really mess with people.
But think of it this way, though, okay?
And a top hat.
I know upon first analysis, hearing 8 foot tall bipedal lizard man, I know that that could warrant, hey, you're full of shit or crazy, right? That sounds crazy at first glance, right? But Think about, all right, there's a lot of people, and I'm one of them, that do believe in Sasquatch, okay? And a Sasquatch is not a far leap from a gorilla. We know that gorillas and orangutans and chimpanzees exist. It's not that big of a stretch to think that maybe there's one that's a little bigger and bipedal, right? Same could be said for this lizard man. We know that Komodo dragons exist. These giant motherfuckers. Like, this is like if a Komodo dragon, if we admit that those exist, that's a real thing. Some of those things are gigantic. It's not that big of a stretch to think that one could be upright on 2 feet.
Yes, it is.
Living
because
in a cave.
We evolved from apes. We didn't evolve from Komodo dragons.
No, but Komodo dragons exist. So how's it a stretch to think that somewhere along the evolutionary family tree that a certain subspecies
I think it's arrogant to think all these animals would want to evolve to be us. Mm-hmm. I think that's a little arrogant.
Hmm.
Boy, we better turn up. We better turn into these people that keep fucking with our lives.
Yeah.
I want to see a story where an animal evolved into just a different animal. That's what I want to see, which I'm sure is what. Isn't that how everything started? A fish decided to walk?
Yeah.
So fuck me. You know what? Maybe in this cave, over the course of, from the dawn of time, from the dawn of Pangea and, monocellular organisms developing consciousness, that one got big enough and decided it also needed a cape and a top hat and wanted to say, like, hello, my baby, hello, my darling, hello, my ragtime gal. Because that's where this story is leading me to. Right
yeah.
Now. It's feeling like it. The face looks like the creature from the Blue Lagoon. Nobody's getting. So either they got it right. I'm barely even seeing anything. It's hard to even see what it is to decide that this is a reptilian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing barely enough to even be like, oh yeah, we should go down this rabbit hole.
Fascinating, man. Caves. We don't know what's in this Hong Son Dung cave. We don't know what the fuck's going on in Antarctica.
Caves are scary as shit, dude.
Caves are scary as shit. I don't think I have any like obvious traditional phobias, but I would think that's got to be one. I've never been spelunking, but yeah, I don't see how that could be a good time. More than just a few minutes.
Have you watched The Descent? You should watch The Descent.
I watched it a long time ago. I need to rewatch that one.
That's a good one.
They encounter some creatures down there, right? Is that what they run into?
I won't spoil it, but it's a good scary movie. I mean, I did the catacombs in Paris. That's a wild one.
Mm-hmm.
That is just bones, just all the bones.
Wow.
Just caves full of bones. And you just walk down as a little building with a spiral staircase right in the middle of the city. You just twirl down that thing. All of a sudden, here's just caves full of bones underneath the city. I did.
How deep does it go?
Mammoth
down?
Caves. That one, I am not sure. I think it was like a couple stories.
Mm-hmm.
Mammoth is in Kentucky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did that one. That was scary. Tegan and I did that one. And that's wild because there's parts of it, like they give you the boiler suit and they give you a hard hat, and there's parts of that where you have to, you know, certain size people cannot go on, that like won't fit through parts of it.
I get what you're laying down.
And but you're like crawling on your belly, and when the guy is like, all right, you have to pick which way you want to turn your head.
Oof.
Because it won't fit. If you're like looking, if you're trying to look straight ahead, you have to turn your head and then crawl through.
Ugh.
And like people started freaking out, and you start thinking yourself, like, not forget even an earthquake. What if something just shifts 1 inch?
Mm-hmm.
Just an inch. And then that's it. Cracks your little skull like a walnut.
Almost got stuck in a crawl space under a house when I was doing heating and air years ago. That scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I can't imagine getting stuck in a cave.
That's, crawl spaces are, oh. I'm not claustrophobic unless I really start to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Same.
You know, like I don't have it naturally fear, but like you get into a situation where you start letting your mind really spin. Like being on a boat, was it thalassophobia?
Hmm.
I don't mind it. I've been on boats. Boats are fine, but you sit out there and think about it a little too long, all of a sudden, whew, the anxiety starts coming down on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I want much to do with a cave. Especially what you're talking
they
about.
Don't
crawling,
want much to do with a cave.
Crawling around on my belly? No thanks.
I mean, it was, like, but like you said, like to know that, like, oh, we're one of the few people that went to explore this mm-hmm. kind of spot.
Yeah, that's cool. I see the appeal. I see why people do it. But, man, I think it would get to me a little too much. Yeah. But it is fascinating in terms of the unexplored, what could be down there.
Well, yeah, I'll allow it. I'll allow, not this picture, but I'll allow that we don't know what's in the caves. That's what I'm going to, I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you that one. That's enough. I can't allow this picture. Looks like yogurt from Spaceballs.
Yeah. It's something though.
But
it's something.
But cave, I mean, that's why the cave stories are always like under, like the diving, the underwater cave exploration, underwater spelunking. Get mm-hmm. the fuck out of here.
Oof. Yikes.
So now, not only can you not panic, like if you panic anyway, you hyperventilate. Now you can't panic because you're on a scuba apparatus. Oof. Ugh. Get out of town with that.
Yeah.
Get out of town with that whole thing.
That's doubling down.
You ever been
down.
Scuba diving?
No. No. And I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know if I would want to. Because, yeah, that's a little unnerving. I mean,
it's, you have to stay calm. And there's, oh, God, there was a story of a guy that. They were trying to charge him with murder. He went scuba diving with his with a bride who didn't pass all the courses, but he was like a known scuba diver, so he's like, she'll be fine. And then she got into trouble underwater, and like he abandoned her to go for help, and you're not supposed to abandon your buddy. But like it was a whole thing. Like this whole story, just even hearing it, knowing it all takes place underwater, was so stressful to listen to.
Mm.
It was like a true crime thing that haunted. But like, oh, and just other scuba divers looking and seeing, oh, yeah, he was swimming to the surface while she was sinking to the bottom. And he's like, well, yeah, I didn't know I had to get help. Like, oh, you can't communicate normally. Like the abyss. Oh, the abyss, that was a wild one.
But what, like, I understand that principle, but at what point does he think, well, shit, I'm about to die, so I gotta,
well,
I can't help her if I'm dead, so let me at least.
That was the true crime element. Was that guy really in that much trouble, or did he do something to her scuba equipment and then abandon her?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the true crime element of it.
Hmm.
Was that whatever happened to her was preventable had he been this certified scuba guy like he claimed to be.
Oh, okay.
Was it negligence? Was it intentional? That was the true crime element.
Hmm.
But just in general, I mean, snorkeling alone is just, I mean, I love snorkeling, but you're also in charge of your own, like, all right, I'm out of air, I'm going back up.
Yeah.
But the appeal there, scuba diving, the appeal, like, of just, oh, I could just stay underwater and, like, This is like the closest I'll be to an astronaut.
On average, how long can scuba divers submerge? Like, is it a 10-minute thing, 30 minutes? Like,
I think it's the size of the oxygen tank.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know how long. I don't know how long they get.
Mm. Yeah, that would that'd rattle your nerves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm running out of air, but I can't go on the surface tour. I'll go get the bends. What a cute name for something that's life-threatening. I got the bends.
The bends.
Sounds like you're double-jointed.
I was watching a movie the other day, and we posed the question, can you drown yourself? Yeah, it was some movie I was watching, and a kid was like, I'm going to kill myself just by going underwater and holding my breath. It'd be like, I equated it to like, you can't really punch yourself in the face full bore. I feel like psychologically,
well, not the angle.
You always pull back. But like, I wonder if you could just go under, hold your breath until you drown and until you pass out and drown.
Well, no, that you don't hold your breath is because you float, but you weigh yourself down.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I know you could weigh yourself down like AJ Soprano style, but like just without any weights or anything, if you just said, I'm going to drown myself in the pool, or would your body just not let you do that and you just come back up?
I mean, people drown in the bathtub.
Yeah, on accident. But
people drown. But I mean, if you want. Yeah, I don't know. That's, I guess, yeah, overcoming your own psyche. It'll be like, all right.
Yeah.
I'm just going to swallow a bunch of water and stay underneath it. I don't know. That, yeah, I don't know about that one.
Hard-hitting questions here. The fun, uplifting hypotheticals.
It's been a... Sorry, man. This one's, yeah, this one's not lighthearted. I'm sorry, everybody. This is just what's going on.
Yeah. It's what's going down. Well, I'm still...
What's going on this week, man? I'm sorry.
I still want to live in a world where it's possible that 8 feet tall, upright lizards live in caves. I think that's...
It must suck if you want to... If you're that... You're 8 feet tall, you decide to stay in a cave. I think you'd want to be... Mm-hmm. You know, you go Bigfoot style. Maybe that's what Bigfoot is. He just left the cave. Maybe that's its own... I forget who's... Was that Plato's philosophy of the cave... That I'm not really familiar with, but I'm bringing up in some pseudo-intellectual bullshit kind of way. Like, we only see the shadows of the people outside of the cave, and we think that's reality until we leave the cave, and then we see the things that make the shadows, and that's actually reality. I learned it in community college a long time ago. And apparently didn't learn it too well either, so... Fuck me, man. I don't know what's going on.
Fuck you, dude.
What if lizard people all have the personality of the guy who just tattooed his face to look like a lizard and does the sideshows?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, fuck, I met a reptilian. He's like, yeah, man, I used to tour with Jane's Addiction and Lollapalooza. You're like, this guy sucks.
He's got barbells chained to his nipples.
Yeah, this guy still thinks that's... Breathing Fire's the hottest ticket in town.
I saw.
Like, all right.
I saw Jim Rose Circus.
Weird lay in 1994. Yeah. What did Jim Rose do for you?
He was spitting fire and hanging dumbbells from his nutsack or something. I don't know.
When you think about what the internet took away.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That kind of stuff. Going to see people doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It really is the Simpsons with the kid eating worms. By 15 minutes, they're over. It really is like, it's over, dude. It's not, you're that, not.
That's true.
I'm going to swallow a sword. Woo. Why don't you tour some junior highs and tell kids say no to drugs afterwards? That's about as relevant as that stuff's going to be. Coming from a stand-up comedian who does not want to embrace social media, I get it, sword swallowers. I feel ya.
How, speaking of stand-ups, like, imagine the disdain those people must have for, oh, you're a performer too? What do? Oh, you tell stories? That's it? You don't swallow swords or stick anything up your butt? What a poser.
Listen, after a life of sticking stuff up your butt, all you have left is storytelling.
Mm, that's true.
It's called
cycle.
Prolapsed fiction, man. Oof. Oof. We hear stories. I mean, everybody's seen what you can do. Like, you've done the thing with your body that you can do. Like, wrestlers and porn stars, they all work. I mean, it's not stand-up in a traditional comedy sense, but it's like, where else are you going to let these people have a speaking engagement that will also serve food and alcohol, you know? It's just, it's everybody gets pissed off at comedy clubs for booking these TikTok, whatever. It's a theater that needs to make money. So if it means that some weekends it's not traditional stand-up and they've branched out into these other things, I get it, and I don't think it's all these people. Whoa, can't believe we're letting this guy headline and not this niche comedian that we all like but is going to sell 30 tickets over 5 shows. It's like, well, that's why. Because they're going to let that guy have a Tuesday, and then they're going to let a porn star or somebody have whatever other day, because that's how they're going to pay the wait staff, and they're going to pay the cleaning crew, and they're going to keep the lights on in the club that lets you do your bullshit at an open mic on Monday. So, boy, I got opinions today, Dave.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's narrow-minded to look at a comedy club as to only have one form of stand-up and shall not waver from it. It's like, well, way to guarantee the death of the thing that you like so much.
Yeah, but it's not just one. Some of that's not a form of stand-up, you know.
No, but it's speaking engagements that can put butts in seats and make money for the club. And, you know, how are you going to tell a server that you like, well, sorry, you only made $80 all weekend for this beloved niche stand-up.
Yeah.
But do you want to make $400 tonight because Steve-O's here, you know? And he's going to tell stories about stapling things to his nuts. Mm. Jackass really took the sideshow thing away from the sideshow people.
Yeah.
Jackass put it on the main stage.
Oh, boy.
I got a shit attitude and all the answers. Sorry, everybody. Read this bullshit blog about this guy. Well, one time a guy saw a thing over there. You made a blog out of that? Get out of town. All right. I'm done bitching.
You get out of town, Kyle.
I will. Tonight, I will be in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
You and Matt flipping a coin? You'll alternate?
I'm not sure how we're doing. I got to talk to him tomorrow. We got to figure out how we're going to kick it off.
Yeah.
Sean Jordan opening for us. 22nd, Duluth, Minnesota. 23rd, Fargo, North Dakota. 24th, Winnipeg, Manitoba. Is Winnipeg, Manitoba?
I think so.
Peg, Manitoba, Canada.
I had an 8-hour bus layover in Fargo, North Dakota about 10 years ago. That was a hoot.
And he's still there.
It was a good time. You betcha.
Well, you betcha, buddy. All right. What about you? Any plugs? What's going on? Any action?
Nah, nothing exciting.
Living your life?
Nothing I want to brag about.
Okay.
Nah, things are good. I'm good. I'm trying to stay busy.
Well, that's good.
Right, trying to write jokes, trying to build a new hour, you know. Just
got a new joke. Got any new jokes you want to share?
No, they're not ready. They're not ready for the broad audience yet. So I'm working on it.
Okay.
Come see me in doing a storytelling show March 7th in Long Beach. Want to come hear me tell the story about how I burned my father-in-law's cabin to the ground?
That is a good story.
Gonna figure out how to make that one funny.
Yeah, I got a lot of actual jokes that I have to figure out how to make funny. Like, I just wrote groundskeepers versus landlords. Wasn't that us? Weren't we talking about that last week?
We were talking about that. Yeah, that is funny.
I'm looking at my notes about what. Here's one. Liquid death. I like that they call that water, that like liquid death is actually what is called drowning. Maybe you should call your water liquid death. Anyway, all right, I gotta go pick up some Thai food. Watch Skinamarink with his cat. Offer an unbiased opinion on this film.
Well, don't let us stand in your way, buddy. You get out there and live your life.
Gotta do something. All right, buddy.
All right, man. We'll talk to you next week. Have fun up in the cold, wherever you're going there.
Fucking frigid.
Wear a coat.
Oh, yeah.
Don't stay
out. All right.
Don't stay outside too long.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.